Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers and the ladies. Truly, we are blessed by having you this morning. We're going to talk about Mary, Mother of Jesus. The name Mary occurs 54 times in the Bible. Its Hebrew equivalence is Mariam, which means their rebellion. There are six different Marys in the New Testament, and all of them are distinguished believers, including the Mother of Jesus, 19 times it occurs, Mary Magdalene, 13 times, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, 11 times the mother of James, 9 times the mother of John Mark, 1 time, and a Christian lady in Rome, 1 time. Today, I desire to focus on Mary, the mother of Jesus, during this Mother's Day service. Mary, without needing any further introduction, was the mother of Jesus, which is described in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, as a woman. Jesus was born of a woman, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. What is the significance of it? Obviously, this woman is referring to virgin woman. She's the mother of Jesus, which has given her a very special place in church history. It is not easy to summarize somebody's life with a few words, just within one message. If the case is of Mary, our difficulties are even more increased. The first story we hear about Mary is the event that she was given a message from the Lord about her conception in the first chapter of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The last occurrence of her name is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, which says, "These were continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." From the beginning till the end, Mary, whom we know in the Bible, is bound to and by Jesus Christ. Her name appears with the story of the conception and birth of Jesus. And in chapter 1, verse 14, Mary, with the other disciples of Jesus, was waiting in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit to come, as Jesus had told them in Luke chapter 24. Such Mary is mentioned as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Therefore, we cannot think of Mary from the beginning till end without Jesus Christ. Her life story is a life of Jesus. And all the more, she had only one title for herself in the Bible, in fact, the mother of Jesus. Mary and her son were inseparable from each other, just like all the mothers cannot be separated from their children. As the Bible focuses on Jesus, so it pays special attention to Mary as his mother. Such is the case that we can find from discussions over two genealogies of Jesus Christ in the two Gospels. Really, I think there is really no issue, even though there are two genealogies of one person in the Scriptures. However, the problem occurs when we begin to compare these two records. We know that there are problems because there are discrepancies and they are totally two different genealogies. Then how could it be possible that there are two different genealogies for one same person? So commentators have been trying to explain that Matthew's genealogy belongs to the family of Joseph, the father of Jesus according to the law, and Luke's genealogy records of the family of Mary, his mother. For our study, the genealogy on the side of Mary is extremely important because our Lord was of the seed of David according to the flesh, the character, which by the prophecies must belong to the Messiah. The genealogy of Mary proves that she was from the line of King David, and thus Jesus could be called the son of David. As his human nature came through Mary, so it was important that Mary was coming from the line of King David, which was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Mary was a virgin at the time of conception. What we see from her is that her being a mother of Jesus was a calling from God. It was not initiated by man. It was not initiated by herself, but in fact, God called her and God summoned her, or God invited her to be a mother of Jesus. Likewise, being a mother is a calling. It is an invitation by God. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Likewise, children are coming from the Lord. It is God who brings the children to their mothers. On this Mother's Day, it will be meaningful for us to consider Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let me begin with the first point we need to consider. Mary as the chosen mother of Jesus. She was chosen to be a mother of Jesus. She was an unknown but very spiritual and godly girl. Mary was just a young teenager in an unimportant town called Nazareth in the hills of Galilee. She came from a poor but honorable family. After all, her family was a royal family in a way. Her family were descendants of Israel's greatest king, David. She'd been carefully trained in the scriptures, and we could assume that she must have known great portions of the scriptures by heart. It is very obvious in her prayers and her responses to the angel's annunciation or announcement of her conception, which we will see a bit later. She knew that God had promised to send the Messiah, the one who would rescue her people Israel and be their king. For 400 years after the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, God had been silent. No new scripture was written after the prophet Malachi's ministry, and there was no more prophet who had come up after Malachi to speak. Every Jewish girl prayed to be the mother of this coming Messiah. Mary loved God and wanted to serve Him with all of her heart. But she was just a poor girl in a very insignificant town, from a humble family, with no great expectations that her life was going to be any different from her mother's life or from that of the other women in her town. There is no story about her early childhood in the Bible. There is no record about her private life. In her day, a girl was betrothed when she reached puberty, and it usually was a year before she was married. So, betrothed year, period of time was about a year. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. They would be married within a year, and she was spending this last year in her home. My guess is that she was learning how to be a good Jewish wife and mother during the time, probably through her mother and the beloved ones at home. Joseph was a carpenter, hard-working, honorable, very responsible person. He was a kind man. Though we do not have much information about him, in fact, there is not many stories about Joseph, but through his responses to the news of Mary's conception, even before they were together, we cannot but conclude that he was a very gentle soul, he must be a very tender person, and he was a good man. For sure, he did not appear to be rich, but a man of good and gentle character. It is not too hard to imagine that the more Mary knew about Joseph, the more she appreciated his sensitivity and his gentleness toward her. Life could be and would be good with Joseph. She must be happy to know that her parents had made such a wonderful, good match for her. In those days, we know that parents were the ones who found their children's spouses and arranged for their marriages. Though in our Western society, we do not find such a custom anymore, not too often at least, we still encourage our children to seek for their parents' approvers for their future spouses. And Mary was chosen by God. One day, Mary was just going around doing her regular and ordinary and daily tasks. She was surprised by an unusual visitor. Matthew and Luke both testify to the virgin conception of Jesus by the Holy Ghost, and in fact it was announced by this visiting, very unusual visitor, angel. God's providence was revealed through that annunciation. An angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 32, and I hope that before you came, as I emailed to you, you had read at least the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, if not up to chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 32. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Naturally, Mary was frightened by such an annunciation. The appearance of an angel must have frightened her, but more surprises came from the words she just heard from that unusual visitor, an angel. She was going to be a mother. As for married women, it could be good news, but Mary was not united with Joseph yet, but waiting for marriage consummation, and I do not know how long she had to wait until that consummation, but still she was a virgin. Here is a naive and shy young girl, shocked by such an inconceivable message from a heavenly figure, an angel. And she had a confirmation as well. She responded to such a message in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Though Mary and Joseph were engaged, but they had not been together yet, impossible becomes possible somehow. A virgin is going to be conceived. This angel told her in verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Even without having a moment of thinking it through, and without either rejoicing or crying over the situation, she just heard the profound and very powerful message that she is going to have a baby, and her child is actually the Son of God. How trembling soul she might be at that very moment. Even the normal life of married women, the news of the first child is truly overwhelming them with joy and fear. But now Mary was facing a situation that meant to be a fulfillment of the expectation of the Jews, the coming of the Messiah through humble flesh. She became a mother like this from a humble and insignificant girl. The angel continued to say that her cousin Elizabeth, though she was already too old to conceive a child, was truly conceived. That was a confirmation. Impossible becomes possible. So Mary hurried to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth came out to greet Mary, and Luke chapter 1, verse 42 says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And she said in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord. Here is a common treasure that all mothers ought to have, which is faith. Mary believed in that unbelievable message. When mothers are blessed by faith, their loved ones are benefited as well. Mary's faith was very obvious. Verses 46 to 50 say this. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So she had a confirmation of the news she just heard. God's providence brought changes forever through her motherhood. Upon hearing the news that she would be the mother of the Son of God, whose kingdom would never be ended, Mary knew that her life would never be the same. Such changes she was going to experience required lots of pain, suffering, and sacrifice on her part, humanly speaking. However, this providence, coming with potential trials, are also the signs of God's favor. Mary, who had been chosen by God for this supernatural purpose, had found a favor with God. So she was a highly favored one. All mothers are chosen by God with such honors and favors. Every childbirth is a sign of God's favor, and they are chosen to be mothers. However, there was a cost to pay. Mary must have been pious, and she was an extremely godly and spiritual young girl. She must have had a very good reputation in her community. How would she explain her pregnancy? Her marriage consummation was not consummated yet. Her reputation would be tarnished. She was still a virgin, but she was conceived. Who was going to believe her? Even the most godly and spiritual of the day would not believe in her words and conception through a virgin. Mary had such an unbelievable faith to believe in the virgin birth when it was spoken to her. With both joy and fear, she willingly accepted God's call on her life. She submitted to the divine providence. It would not surprise us that she must be in shock. The angel had said, nothing is impossible with God, and Mary had simply accepted. Mary had simply believed what the angel had just told her. She simply believed that what God said he would do, he could do, and that's a perfect definition of faith, and she had such a simple faith in God. Mary believed in God and submitted herself to his perfect will, and the baby was already growing in her womb. She believed in God by heart, and she truly served him with all her body by carrying the baby Jesus in her womb. The mothers who live by faith and serve the Lord with all their might and strength are the sources of blessings to children. As mothers submit themselves to the will of God, the whole families are in fact blessed. Hope and pray that all of our mothers are women of faith and service with all heart and all of their hearts and might. All our young ladies prepare themselves to become such mothers someday. How could women prepare themselves to be godly and spiritual mothers? You know, there is no school program like this. As far as I understand, in order to be a good doctor, medical students must work very hard, and they must really study very hard, and they have to go through quite a rigorous and vigorous training programs and so on. Then they have to be educated continually. In order to be a good doctor, they have to go through for so many years of training and continuing education. But how about motherhood? Where is a school for women to go and to be trained to be godly and spiritual mothers? That training cannot be done in schools, or there is no, you know, degree for women to get some graduation, you know, graduate degrees with diplomas, whatever. You know, there is no such a course to become good mothers. Then how can women prepare themselves to be godly and spiritual mothers? As I look at Mother Mary, that training must begin at homes, since they were young and little, till they are soaked with God's truths and their characters are transformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Men who will find such a woman to be his wife shall be truly blessed. And I hope that all of our young men will have that blessing. Mary was chosen to be a mother of Jesus. as children are gifts to their mothers, mothers are also gifts to their children. And Mary is also a woman of faith. How fearful she must be when she heard such an announcement that she was going to be a mother without knowing a man. Her faith was well expressed in Luke chapter 1. Now Mary's heart responds and her mouth is filled with praise for God. We can see her complete surrender to God and His providence and His will. Luke, in fact, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, gives us a lot of lessons and ideas about Mary's faith, but I'm not going to read that passage, and it is a hymn of praise. It is both a poetry and a prophecy. It reveals some very important truth to us. In the first place, it reveals the depth of Mary's spiritual understanding. I really do not think there are a lot of teenage girls around who could have composed something like this we can find from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. She was only a teenager girl, but she was able to make such a wonderful prayer. Every one of those words are coming from the scriptures. And it also reveals her great knowledge of God's word, because every single phrase in this prayer, in this praise, is taken from one of the Psalms. So in other words, this teenage girl, Mary, was truly soaked into God's word, Psalms. She didn't go looking up anything. She just knew it by heart, and it pulled out of her heart. It sounds a lot like Hannah's prayer, a song of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It revealed she also knew God's character. How could she know of God's character? The only way we can know God's character is to be saturated with God's word and daily walk with Him. This young woman, Mary, did not have computer Bible programs or daily manna booklets she could use. Every Jewish child was taught God's word as soon as he or she was able to speak, and they memorized it. And Mary knew God's word by heart. Every Christian home should promote and encourage children to learn the scriptures since they are very young. Even from the time of their infancy, little ones must be taught from the scriptures, and they must be encouraged to memorize the scriptures. And I hope that our young couples with little ones will practice it. It requires, obviously, parents this spiritual discipline as well. Spiritual mothers will not look for any private, just only private tutors for their children's academic improvements. And we all know that Asian mothers are tiger moms, and so they desire to see that their children will be able to achieve great academic performances. So they are busily looking for best sort of private tutors they can find. However, mothers should teach children to learn the scriptures. How much effort are we putting into teaching our children with the scriptures? I remember quite often my wife, how she told my boys, if they give any excuse for schoolwork and, you know, exam preparations and so on, by skipping church activities or Bible studies, so on. And she said, it doesn't matter whether you are not able to finish this or that and so on. The most important thing is to do what God wants you to do. So always God was coming first. And Mary knew something about herself also. What was it? It's in verse 47. Luke chapter 1. She said, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary knew her spiritual condition and her spiritual needs. She was born from Adam. Mary knew she was a sinner and needed a Savior so that her sins could be forgiven. And such a woman like Mary is honored. When Scripture calls her blessed among women, she knew she needed a Savior. And her faith was exercised. In Luke chapter 2, Mary was very near the end of her pregnancy when the news came to Nazareth that Caesar had decreed that everyone had to go to the town their family came from to be enrolled for tax purposes. It was like a census. Both Joseph and Mary had to go because both of them were descended from King David and they had to go to Bethlehem, which was called as David's city. It was a journey of about 90 miles, which means about 140 kilometers. And even though we always see her on a donkey in our kind of imagination or postcards and Christmas cards and so on, we have no way of knowing if that was really true. Either she had to go by foot or did ride on a donkey. And it was at least a 3 to 4 days journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I wonder if they remember the prophecy in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 saying about Messiah's coming from Bethlehem. In any case, when they arrived in the town, it was jammed with other people who had come to the same place or for the same purpose. Mary was exhausted and in the first stages of her labor, and there was no comfortable place to stay. I wonder whether she was really scared at the time. Here she was facing her first childbirth with no mother around and no friends around. She wasn't in any antiseptic operating room, comfortable hospital bed, which most mothers have benefited from in these days. Finally, Joseph was able to find a place where animals were kept, and there on a bed of straw, with no one but Joseph to help her, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in an animal feeding trough filled with clean straw. It is only a small example of pain and suffering that mothers have to endure from the moment of being conceived. They carry us for many months in their wombs and then care for us for many decades afterwards. During all these years, they do not put themselves before us, but behind us by supporting and providing us with love and care with much, much sacrifices on their parts. Her faith was declared in chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now the word servant in chapter 1, verse 38, there are several words for servant in the Bible, different Greek words. And this particular one is the lowest form of servanthood. And this is referring to a bond slave. It's a feminine form is doule, otherwise doulos. She says, "I am the Lord's slave, a bond slave. Let it be to me as you have said." That's what Mary responded to the message she just heard. What do we see here about her attitude? Do we see her humility? And I think there is more than humility. There is total submission to the will of God. Therefore, we need to listen. This just didn't happen at this moment. You know, her life has not been really spiritual and godly enough, but somehow angel comes to her and he says, "You are going to be conceived and the child is going to be called the Son of God." Then she says, "Yes, Lord, I accept it and I will submit myself." It's not going to happen in that way. It was not happening overnight. This was the pattern of the life of Mary. That was the pattern of her spiritual life. This was a young teenager, probably mid to upper teens, and she could have this kind of relationship with God. That is amazing. It is no wonder that she could become such a godly and wonderful spiritual mother eventually. She was trained. She was nurtured in that way. What a remarkable young girl. She was willing to serve God at any cost. She wondered how she could explain anything so strange to her mother and to Joseph. who was going to believe in her. She was a woman of faith. Then we understand that Mary was the committed mother of Jesus. Mary put the words of Jesus in her heart. Mary bore a son and named him Jesus, and he grew up in strength and wisdom. That is all we know from Scripture about the childhood of Jesus, except that when he was 12, he was lost and then found in the temple talking to the rabbis or teachers there. And when the parents challenged him, he said to Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 2 verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Jesus was rather blunt in telling his mother and father that he was about his father's business. Jesus emphasized here that his real father was. It was almost like a rebuke. He was reminding them of his supernatural origin. And interestingly, Luke chapter 2 verse 15 says that Mary kept and pondered the things of Jesus in her heart. It is a trait often mothers demonstrate more than fathers. They seem to have extra sensitivity about their children's issues and characters. And many a times, those are things I could not catch from my boys. My wife somehow knew them. And it is almost like her eyes are everywhere around the children. That must be sick sense that only mothers have. Mary bore the reproaches as a mother. In Mark chapter 6 verse 3, people were talking about Jesus. And that is quite a challenging thing. Here, Mark 6 3 says, is not this the carpenter? They are talking about Jesus. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So we see Jesus has four half-brothers and at least two sisters in the flesh. Just the imaging of the life of Mary after the news about her pregnancy broke out to the people. Before Mary and Joseph consummated their marriage, she was already conceived and she was pregnant and she was delivering a baby. The people of Nazareth could see Mary's tummy growing every day. What kind of thought got into their minds about Mary and Joseph? Probably this was a shadow she lived under for the rest of her life. Mary knew the suffering of being accused and convicted of the worst thing that a virtuous woman could be accused of. Jesus was not called a son of Joseph as other boys were called, other children were called. Other children were called after their father's names. If you had read the Gospels, you could find a lot of names. And you will find that those names are oftentimes described with following phrases. The son of so-and-so, son of such-and-such. However, here, Jesus is being called as a son of Mary by his mother's name. There must be lots of implications in such a name-calling. In fact, over 30 years later, there were still rumors about Jesus' birth, and it is implied in John chapter 8, verse 41, which says, listen carefully to the words of the Jews to Jesus, when Jesus was telling them that they were the children of the devil. And here the Jews spoke to Jesus in John 8, 41, ye do the deeds of your father. This is what Jesus is telling them, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they, the Jews, to him, Jesus, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. What does it mean? We are not born through fornication. It implies that Jesus was born of fornication. Jesus, Mary was able to endure rumors about her reputation because she knew the charges were not true. Being God's servant is not always a bed of roses. I assume that by this time Joseph died and there was no one who could defend her reputation and honor. Until he died, probably he could become a kind of fence to defend Mary. But now Mary was left alone. In the meanwhile, the caring for the family fell upon the oldest son, Jesus. And that was exactly the pattern Jesus followed. So that's why he was called as the carpenter, the son of Mary. Jesus earned their living as a carpenter for the family, obviously. Mary promoted God more than herself, even as a mother. John 2, verse 4 says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And later on, she made a special trip to see him as he was teaching a multitude. And word was brought to Jesus that his mother and brothers were present. We would expect that Jesus might have gone out to them, but instead he replied in Luke chapter 8, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. It must have been painful for Mary to hear that her own special relationship to her son did not even earn her an audience with him. However, she knew where she had to stand in the path of her son's journey. He had to redeem his people. God was always before and before herself and children. The most distressing scene for mother and son was at the crucifixion. Mary was there watching Jesus die. Her son, who was the King, the Savior, the Son of God, died on Calvary's cross. Mary had known of this moment to come since Jesus' infancy. After 40 days of her childbirth, she went to the temple to dedicate the baby Jesus. There, God sent two old people who had been waiting for the Savior to come to bring confirmation to them, both Simeon and Anna. When Simeon held the baby in his arms and praised God for the Savior, he then turned to Mary and he said this in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Would you like to read those verses? What sort of prophecy she received from Simeon when the baby Jesus was only 40 days old? Chapter 2, 34 and 35. Let's read them together. And Simeon blessed them. So, the first part of this passage is talking about the work Jesus was going to do. And also, the second part of this passage is talking about the suffering and inner pain Mary eventually was going to experience. So, when we think of it, that's exactly what Mary had suffered 2,000 years ago. This child, the precious, especially the first child, the Son of God, suffered and was crucified. When he suffered, and she was standing right there, and she was watching the agonizing son, Jesus, on the cross. We all know that when a child suffers, his mother suffers too. Every mother must know that that is true. The worst thing mothers go through is when they see their children suffer, and there is nothing that they can do for them. But Mary suffered more than anyone has ever had to suffer before and after. And Mary was the consecrated mother of Jesus. Mary watched the death of her son on the cross. Then there was a blessed news of his resurrection. Jesus ascended into heaven. And after his ascension, The apostles of Jesus waited for the filling of the Spirit of God in Jerusalem because that was the command Jesus left with them. Mary was with the disciples of Jesus. The last mention of Mary in the New Testament is found in Acts chapter 1. The disciples had returned from the Mount of Olives where they had seen Jesus ascend to heaven. And Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, in fact. And Mary was waiting in an upper room in Jerusalem with the other disciples, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It is amazing. After Jesus was ascended, when all these disciples of Jesus were gathered together for prayer meeting until the coming of the Spirit of God to fill them all, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the prayer meeting. They all joined together constantly in prayer. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them with a sound like the blowing of a violent wind and appearance of tongues of fire. While she is not specifically mentioned in Acts chapter 2, she no doubt was there when the Holy Spirit came down to indwell all believers permanently and fill them all. In fact, if we look at Acts chapter 2, rather than it does not sound like the first coming of the Holy Spirit, but rather it sounds like the act of the filling of the Spirit of God. She was still a woman of faith and humility, taking her place with all of the others who trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and the Lord. She had been the most privileged and blessed of women. Mary, too, was filled with the Spirit of God, as the little group was clothed with power and experienced the risen Lord. Mary had known the presence of God all through the years of her motherhood. She knew what it was to raise a large family. So you can imagine Mary and Joseph and Jesus Christ, at least the four half-brothers and two half-sisters. So all together they are making up 10. For the family. And also we can imagine that at a certain stage Joseph died, so she was a single parent, and she was supposed to lead and guide all these children, and at the same time somehow she was to manage the family living. So she knew what it was to raise a large family. And I don't know whether some of you are coming from a very large family, or as a mother you have looked after a large family, even as a single parent. And she knew how to economize on a tight budget. Joseph was a carpenter, so for sure we could see that he was not a wealthy person. And I don't think there was a kind of life insurance left for her and her children. And so she had to really be very careful about her spending, and she must have had a very tight budget. And she experienced the slurs on her reputation, and everywhere where she went to, there was a kind of whispering voice that one of her children was a child of fornication. She knew unbelief in her own family as her other sons rejected her firstborn Jesus all their lives until after his resurrection. We know that while Jesus was actively ministering to the people, his brothers, half-brothers and sisters, those siblings that did not believe in him, so they were unbelievers. So probably some of you are praying for your children's salvation while one was saved, somehow the other one is not saved, or something like that. Well, Mary understands such a family situation. But now that Jesus' earthly life was over, she asked for no special place of honor. She was simply another worshiper of Jesus Christ. She is the peerless example of youthful purity, godly motherhood, and marital fidelity. She was a woman of great faith, of great knowledge of God's word, and of total submission of God's will, whatever the cost. She knew what it was to see her precious son assert his independence from her as he became a son, as he became a man. She saw his spiritual relationships take precedence over his human family, and he was able to let him go. She experienced the agony of his death and the rapture of his resurrection. She became his faithful follower and must have been a great encouragement to the early church. I salute all the mothers who have taken the same path of faith as they have experienced the different stages of their personal experiences as they rear their children. You know, I'm about to finish my message, but I think before I finish message, I cannot but talk about my own mother, because it is always a blessing for me to think about my own mother. And also, it is a wonderful blessing that I had such a precious mom. It is God's blessing that we have our own moms. She was a daughter of a freedom fighter for Korea during the time of Japanese occupation. And so she never enjoyed any sort of wealth and riches, but she was receiving a very strict education under the supervision of my grandparents. And she met my father, and they married, and they had a very poor and needy, married life. But she was such a dedicated mother, and when she was very young, little child, she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. But later on, as she was growing, there were a lot of trials in life, and there was financial difficulties, etc. So as a result, she began to be very lazy in terms of her Christian faith practices. But she always encouraged me to go to church, to believe in Jesus, to read the scriptures. Our home was, our family was very poor. So sometimes we all, whole family lived in one room. So mother and father and myself and my sister, we lived in one room. Sometimes even that room, one room was a rented room. But she made even that one room, small unit, as a wonderful and warm home and family. She loved us and she was a dedicated mother. And she wanted to do something for the family. But because of financial problems, she could not buy good things to cook for the family. So she was studying very hard, and she noticed that tofu was a good protein source. So she bought tofu literally every day, and she made so many different recipes to cook tofu. So literally every day, I think we ate either tofu or bean sprouts, because she firmly believed that they could provide good proteins to us. So that's why I still like tofu. That is probably my best, kind of most favorite dish. But despite all those poverty and needy living and the family condition, she never forgot to tell us how much she loved us. She oftentimes gave us hugs, and she was such a wonderful wife, and my father really loved her so much. And as a result, when he lost his wife within 1 month, his dark black hairs became all gray, and he lost almost half of his hairs. And one day, not too long before she passed away, I didn't know that she was going to pass away, I told her that I wanted to be a pastor. And she looked at me and she said, "Son, I think that is an honorable calling. And I hope that you will be a good pastor." And She said, son, you may have to face a lot of challenges in your life along the way if you want to be a pastor. But I think that is worthwhile for you to be a pastor. And so she encouraged me a pastor. And then one day, even she did not give me an opportunity to say goodbye. She just collapsed. And she went into eternity. I just wanted to share this with you this morning. It is because, as you all know, all of us have times to love, and all of us do have times to say goodbye. And this is a Mother's Day. I do not know what sort of relationship you have with your mothers. I do not know whether you are together with your mom or your mom is far away from you. I do not know what is going on in your personal life, in your mother's personal life. But I hope that you will be able to pick up the phone today and you will be able to call your mom and you will tell your mom how much you love her. And I hope that you will do that. And those ones who have lost their moms, you are on my camp. But let us praise God and thank to the Lord for His abundant blessings that He had given to us through our mothers. All those mothers who may be struggling at the moment for raising and nurturing their children, well, remember this. As long as you obey God and submit yourselves unto the Lord, and also as long as you nurture and nourish your children with the scriptural truth so that they will have spiritual values in themselves, you are good, you are doing a good job. You know, imbue this Christian spirit and the truth of God into the minds of your children. And I salute to all the mothers today. Thank God for mothers for their love, pain, tears, and sacrifices for their children. Maybe you are praying very hard for your children, but somehow it seems that the Lord has not answered your prayers yet. Let us keep praying. God is faithful, and He will hear your voices, and He will answer your prayers. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, when and where can we find such warmth in our hearts? But the time when we think of our moms, and just whisper and call, Mom, when we were sick, they just sat right next to us all through the night. Even though at times we were rebellious, but they never stopped loving us. Even though they did not enjoy any comfort, quietness in life, but by all means they try to provide our needs. And even though their statures are small and just little and tiny, much shorter than us, but they oftentimes act, behave as if they are giant fences and defense for us. Even though our days to be with them may be very much limited, and so their bodily presence may not be with us anymore. Doesn't matter how old we are, Lord, when we just whisper that eternally precious name, Mom. Our hearts have just swelled up with emotions, and oftentimes we show our tears. Dear God, while we have opportunities to love our mothers, bless us to love our mothers. Maybe sometimes we have disagreements. Sometimes we may have strained relationships or conflicts. We just cannot understand Mom, and Mom cannot understand us, but just privilege to call her Mom may remove all the obstacles and hindrances from our path, and we will never spare the words, "I love you," to our moms. Father, bless our mothers and bless our grandmothers. When we see their wrinkled hands, we see their sacrifices and care made for us. Bless them, dear Lord. Bless all our ladies. Father, thank you. Thank you for our ladies. And bless our young ladies who desire to be mothers and wives someday. Help them to be well prepared in the spirit, and help them to be like a teenager Mary, fully charged and saturated with the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name.